I'm Cliff Kelly, Vietnam veteran and host of America's Heroes Group, the game changer in radio, print, and digital media programming. We are a roundtable talk show where information, resources, and referrals are provided intentionally every Saturday to empower our military population on WVON 1690 AM, the iHeart Radio app from 4 to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. Please visit our website at www.americashg.org.
Good afternoon on a beautiful afternoon. This, of course, is America's Heroes Group, and I am the Cliff Kelly, and the host, of course, the executive producer lets me know what I am, Glenda Smith. She says, you're the host. Okay, thank you.
The one Glenda. And only Governor Talk Radio.
Thank you, Glenda. Appreciate it. And we've got such great people here. The digital media producer, Manny Corazari, and assistant digital media producer, Titus Williams. We got all these great folks here. America's Heroes Group Roundtable Public Policy. And, of course, we are going to have some interesting conversation now. We've got on our live line, we have panelists calling in. Dr. Arnold is with us. Hey, Doc, thanks for staying. We have Attorney Ernesto Borges and Rochelle Crump. I know what she's going to say. Hey, Rochelle.
Hi, I'm President Accounted For, sir.
That's what I expect to hear, President Accounted For. And, of course, Sean Claiborne. He counts the money. Sean, how you doing?
Pretty good. Still out here in the living.
Still out there. That's great. Number of things we want to talk about. The discussion, CNN, we're going to, there's some audio clips that we would like our listeners and, of course, you folks to hear so you can comment on them. Retired General Mattis' statement does two powerful things. Now, I'm sure most of you, you folks know this, but ABC World News Tonight, audio clip, Republicans struggling over supporting Trump's reelection. And then also we'll hear CNN audio clip, Esper breaks with Trump to oppose using active duty troops to quell protests, which is really funny because of the fact that why would anybody do that anyway? So let's hear a clip.
An unprecedented revolt from some of the nation's top military leaders, namely former Defense Secretary James Mattis, who of course was appointed, Jim, by the president himself.
He is now publicly admonishing President Trump as the first president in his lifetime, quote, who does not try to unite the American people. Mattis adding that the president doesn't even pretend to try. He has said that he's making a mockery of the Constitution. These are remarkable words from the retired Marine General.
What Jim's statement does is really two things that are very powerful. First, it reemphasizes to all of the active duty people that their oath of loyalty is to the Constitution of the United States. It's not personally to President Trump. And Secretary Mattis always tried to make that clear, but this statement really lays it out. And it also provides top cover for other retired senior officers to speak out. It provides top cover perhaps for even some members of the Congress to speak out. It warns some of Trump's base that he's lost the support of one of his most powerful supporters who had been his Secretary of Defense. This is a very, very powerful, significant statement. But I also want to say Mike Mullen, the former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and Courtney Dempsey, they've also been very reserved in speaking out. And both of them also spoke out. So this is powerful.
Trump in the new fallout tonight after his threat to use the U.S. military on American civilians. 24 hours after former Defense Secretary Jim Mattis issued a rare and scathing rebuke, tonight Alaska Senator Lisa Murkowski, a Republican, says she agrees with Mattis and she's now, quote, struggling over whether to support the president and suggesting that some Republicans might now be more willing to speak out. Here's our chief White House correspondent, Jonathan Carl, tonight.
Outside the White House, new fences, higher barriers, pushing the public back, further separating the president from the world outside. He has been out of sight for 2 days, communicating through his digital megaphone, Twitter. More than 75 tweets since midnight, many of them slogans, Make America Great Again, Law and Order. Outside, the protests persisting. Inside the Capitol building, Democratic senators joined together in silence, some taking a knee for 8 minutes 46 seconds in honor of George Floyd. As the stunning condemnation of President Trump by his former defense secretary, retired General Jim Mattis, reverberates throughout the city, Donald Trump is the first president in my lifetime who does not try to unite the American people, does not even pretend to try, Mattis wrote. Instead, he tries to divide us. We are witnessing the consequences of 3 years without mature leadership. Mattis expressed outrage at the forceful removal of peaceful protesters to make room for what he called a bizarre photo op. Mattis's words prompted a forceful response from Republican Senator Lisa Murkowski.
I was really thankful. I thought General Mattis's words were true and honest and necessary and overdue.
And she offered a pointed message to her fellow Republicans, telling them it is time to speak up.
The killing of George Floyd by a Minneapolis policeman is a horrible crime. The officers on the scene that day should be held accountable for his murder. It is a tragedy that we have seen repeat itself too many times. With great sympathy, I want to extend the deepest of condolences to the family and friends of George Floyd from me and the department. Racism is real in America, and we must all do our very best to recognize it, to confront it, and to eradicate it. I've always been proud to be a member of an institution, the United States military, that embraces diversity and inclusion and prohibits hate and discrimination in all forms. More often than not, we have led on these issues. And while we still have much to do on this front, leaders across DOD and the services take this responsibility seriously, and we are determined to make a difference. Every member of this department has sworn an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States of America. I've taken this oath many times, beginning at the age of 18 when I entered West Point. The rights that are embedded in this great document begin with the First Amendment, which guarantees the five freedoms of speech, religion, press, assembly, and the right to petition the government. The United States military is sworn to defend these and all other rights, and we encourage Americans at all times to exercise them peacefully. It is these rights and freedoms that make our country so special, and it is these rights and freedoms that American service members are willing to fight and die for. At times, however, the United States military is asked, in support of governors and law enforcement, to help maintain law and order so that other Americans can exercise their rights free from violence against themselves or their property. That is what thousands of guardsmen are doing today in cities across America. It is not something we seek to do, but it is our duty, and we do it with the utmost skill and professionalism. I was reminded of that Monday as I visited our National Guardsmen who were on duty Monday night protecting our most hallowed grounds and monuments. I'm very proud of the men and women of the National Guard who are out on the streets today performing this important task, and in many ways, at the risk of their own welfare. I've always believed and continue to believe that the National Guard is best suited for performing domestic support to civil authorities in these situations in support of local law enforcement. I say this not only as Secretary of Defense, but also as a former soldier and a former member of the National Guard. The option to use active duty forces in a law enforcement role should only be used as a matter of last resort and only in the most urgent and dire of situations. We are not in one of those situations now. I do not support invoking the Insurrection Act. Last night, a story came out based on a background interview I did earlier in the day. It focused on the events last Monday evening in Lafayette Park, and I found it to be inaccurate in parts. So I want to state very clearly for all to hear my account of what happened that Monday afternoon. I did know that following the president's remarks on Monday evening, that many of us were going to join President Trump and review the damage in Lafayette Park and at St. John's Episcopal Church. What I was not aware of was exactly where we were going when we arrived at the church and what the plans were once we got there. It was also my aim and General Milley's to meet with and thank the members of the National Guard who were on duty that evening in the park. It is something the president likes to do as well. The path we took to and from the church didn't afford us that opportunity, but I was able to spend a considerable amount of time with our guardsmen later that evening as I moved around the city to many of the locations at which they were posted.
Okay, all right. We'll take calls on this. Let's go to Dr. Arnold. What do you think of this?
Yeah, I think it's really it's an atrocity that they would actually utilize our own military forces against our own people. And I am, you know, deeply, deeply saddened by that. And I also have my prayers going out to Mr. Floyd and his entire family and his friends and actually our people throughout the country, because we have been subjected to some things that are just short of death. Of what he had to go through. And, you know, for Mark Milley, the four-star general and Joint Chiefs of Staff, to make comments, and Defense Secretary Mark Esper, you know, for them to be utilized to take a photograph after attacking our citizens with tear gas, a helicopter, and pepper bullets. I just don't understand where we are. And we afforded our enemies overseas when I was in Iraq more respect under the Constitution than we are affording our own citizens at this current time.
I can believe that for sure, that, without a doubt. Let's go to Rochelle Crump. Rochelle, what do you think about this? Rochelle, are you there?
Yes, I'm sorry. I was on mute. I think that, you know, Esper not only speaks from courage, she speaks from his own conscience, his own values, his expertise, and I think he understands the lack of equal justice, you know, that's going on, and the sworn oath that he took also, as with General Mattis, you know, regarding this matter and being used in the way that, you know, they're trying to use them, you know, and use the troops for. I just don't believe in it. I think that, you know, what he spoke was genuine. I think that it was resourceful for them to understand that it should be just used as a last resort. Mm-hmm. You know, and when you think about, you know, the rights of the protesters and their freedom to assembly, and, you know, why does it take us to be silent and watch a man get killed? They say nothing. And then when, you know, we rise up as a people, then it's a problem. They shouldn't have to go through that. Mm-hmm. You know, we shouldn't have to watch a man die in order for us to have to demand that we have, you know, accountability of doing the things that we should be doing in the first place, you know, and using the military was not for that, you know. And if you look at martial law, you know, yes, I want to ask Dr. Arnold, were you all trained for martial law, you know, in America? Or is that just something for, you know, just for being in a foreign place, would you have to do that? You know, are you trained for that here in America? Because that has a big difference in how you push our military out there in our own communities.
Yeah, we have some civil
disturbance
training.
Thank you.
Yeah, we do have some civil disturbance training and those kinds of things, but the issue is really that we need to have rules of engagement for our citizens, African American citizens, people of color, Latino, whoever, even the poor white people who are in this country who are mistreated at times. We need to have rules of engagement like we had and we were expected to have when we were over in Iraq with people who were supposed to be suppressed and suspected terrorists. And we were affording them more rights under our judicial laws in the military with our JAG officers than we were to these people who are walking around like Trayvon Martin gets shot down in the street.
Yeah.
We need to really change the way we approach this.
Yeah, excellent point. Sean, how you doing?
Pretty good. Mm-hmm. I mean, the thing that I say that disturbs me is that right now we see the distortion of the reality of what's going on in our country. That's what the big problem is to me. I see when we see these problems like Dr. Arnold touched on, it's not just about George Floyd. It's Eric Garner, Trayvon Martin, Tamir Rice, Omar Arbery, Breonna Taylor, Betty Jones, Laquan McDonald, Botham Jean. You can go on and on and on all day long with these people that have been shot at the hands of police and then trying to militarize the situation even further by introducing the thought of using the military, mostly to me as a soundbite. I think it's mostly what the effect of it was supposed to be about, to kind of shore up the support of the people that have this mentality of ultimate force and strike first and these things that are basically about just trying to suppress a problem that doesn't really even exist. The real problem is this becomes basically an issue about health and public safety and education, an economic issue at its core. This really is about money and power. Okay, we don't talk about the fact that 200 people died in the city of Chicago so far this year from gun violence. We have 1,000 people that got shot this year. They're mostly black and brown. Mm-hmm. Coronavirus is affecting black and brown people disproportionately to other demographics, mainly because they have that lack of access to health care. So that is what's going on. That's what this is about. George Floyd's a tipping point. That's what caused the entire explosion of the looting and things like that. You know, so we have to get down to that question. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But the thing about it is, even to the point, to address that point, that you would even think about bringing the military onto the streets, not to say it's even disrespectful to the National Guard. I'm a guardsman myself.
Mm-hmm.
So at the same time, you have to realize for people that are out there, they're attempting to go and steal, risk their lives, and steal a radio or a television or some or a Fendi purse or a pair of Nikes. Yeah, you're risking your life to take a chance on something that's not going to basically help you down the road. If you're going to loot something, loot a lifetime career, loot a skill, learn a trade, loot a trade, learn how to be an electrician or a plumber or a doctor or a lawyer, God forbid. You know,
preach,
do something like that.
Preach.
these are the types of things that are being that we don't really talk about. But we go out, we have the protest. We had the protest when Dr. King came, and we had the Civil Rights Bill. But what has changed since 1968? This is 2020.
Yeah.
Okay. So we have this pandemic going on in the background. Unemployment is at all-time records. I mean, now, thankfully, we had 2.5 million jobs created last week. That was a good number. A lot of that had to do with the CARE Act and the PPP, the payroll protection money that came out. As clumsy as it was, it came out very quickly and very fast. But it did have an effect on having to kind of give a little bit of a push to help people, particularly in the minority communities, to give them some unemployment money, some stimulus money to keep the businesses going. A lot of businesses have insurance. Some businesses won't come back from this, these lootings. But what happens when that money runs out? Okay, if the unemployment numbers from the Department of the Bureau of Labor Statistics are incorrect or any kind of are flawed in any kind of way, because these numbers are going to be revised down the road.
Mm-hmm.
If they're incorrect,
mm-hmm.
what happens when that stimulus money runs out? What do we do then? If you have people sitting at home that are antsy, they've been locked up for a couple of months, 2 or 3 months, they're not. Sometimes they're still, even though some people are making more money on unemployment than they were at their job, but you still have a lot of people that are not getting much of anything.
Right. Excellent
they also have
point.
Issues that they got to be addressed.
Excellent point. Let's go take a caller. Mama D, how you doing?
Oh, good. Thanks for taking my call. You know, what we witnessed, what the world witnessed with Floyd was a torture execution.
Sure.
And that is a crime against humanity. And we are crimes against humanity descendants. That's what made this situation different.
Mm-hmm.
But if the National Guard can come to Chicago and build a hospital and yet stand guard with, along with the police, guarding buildings downtown that had already been looted, already been boarded up, and we on the south side was left totally without any kind of protection, and we have no stores, no drug stores, no banks, no nothing for basic life services, especially the seniors being the hardest hit. So mm-hmm. why shouldn't the federal government come here and build up these boarded up places so we don't have to take collections and have them boarded up for the next 10 years? Why can't they come in here like they went into Little Rock, Arkansas, when the National Guard didn't do their job and they protected those students when the National Guard didn't do their job? So why can't we have them come here and solve this problem now?
Gotcha, Mama D. Thank you so much for your call. Let me ask what you think of this just quickly because we're almost out of time. You know, Trump got a photo opportunity at a nearby church holding a Bible. Of course, he was holding it upside down, but that didn't matter to him at all. Anybody, what do you think about that, Doc?
Well, you know, holding the Bible upside down, I think that is the sign of the Antichrist, but I'm not that far.
Dr. Arnold, really?
No, but I'm thinking...
I think it's disrespectful, Dr. Arnold. I think it was disrespectful.
Well, what I'm going to say is that The thing that I think really was important and it was the original question Cliff asked, and it was, you know, what do you think about these people? What I think about Mark Milley and what Mark Esper did was show true leadership. It was in
that's right.
Yes.
No. Yeah, absolutely right.
The person who's supposed
absolutely.
To be in that boat running this country.
Yeah.
So I have to applaud them, first of all, for having the courage and for Mattis to stand up and for them to stand up for what is right and what is constitutionally
right.
based and what our moral code and our ethics in the military is supposed to be for.
Yes.
So I, first of all, had to recognize how great they were. And I was listening to some young people saying, well, the reason why we had to do this is so you all didn't do that before. But I was talking to my little nephew, and I was talking to him, and I said, well, you know, those people who are protesting right now, they did not have to break a solid link chain on a ankle bracelet that was holding them onto a plantation.
Preach.
Good point.
They did not have to be a veteran who is supporting and defending this country, knowing that when they return, they will not be treated the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And they did not have to walk in the civil rights marches. So they are privileged to be able to walk down the street right now wearing Nikes and wearing the clothes they wear, because the people who came before them fought those battles for them.
That's true.
So we have to
not just walk down the street, walk in a front door, go to a theater, go to a dinner, a restaurant.
We don't talk about is that fact that there's so many programs that are done through the military. I mean, the military itself is a way out for so many people that people don't take advantage
it
of.
Certainly
you go to join
is,
a National Guard
exactly.
and get a college degree through the military.
You can.
You can learn a trade. Mm-hmm. Learn to be an electrician. Like I said, there will always be a need for an electrician, a plumber, a carpenter. There's always going to be doctors and lawyers. You know, those are things you can actually get done through the resources that are made available to you through hundreds of years of sacrifices that black and brown people have made.
Mm-hmm.
And you do get priority and preference in a lot of those jobs, you know, from the state, the federal, the county, the city.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, they just have to take advantage of them. I know so many of them who have come in the door that way.
You're right.
You know, and they've made successful careers out of working for the government, you know. And so we have to look at that.
I want to thank the three of you. Of course, you folks do a great job. Doc, thank you so much. Rochelle.
Thank you.
And Sean. Yeah.
Thank you so much. And can I just say this right real quick?
Has to be very quick.
Very quick. You know, just hearing the voice of Floyd calling out from his mother, it should haunt everybody. As a female veteran that had one son, Lord have mercy, I can hear that man hollering for his mama.
I got you. Thank you so much.
The talk of Chicago and the voice of the nation. 1690 WVON, Berwyn, Chicago.